Before we get going, would you join me in a quick prayer? Gracious God, we are just grateful for your presence. Wherever we are, whoever we are grateful that you love us. We are grateful that you are with us. We are grateful that you guide us. May we hear your guidance. May we walk in your path. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Have you ever been in a situation, either mistaken identity or someone, you're walking along the street and somebody waves at you, and you wave back and you find out they're not waving at you, they're waving at someone behind you? I've actually corrected somebody once before. This was years ago, but I was in a parking lot and somebody was waving and they were going, "Terry, hey, Terry." And I said, "No, Trevor." And they were talking to somebody that wasn't even near me. And you do this kind of, oh, God, you know, there's just this humiliation walk back to wherever you just want to hide. But have you ever been in situations, too, where you were in situations where you just didn't feel like you were invited? Either you went to a social gathering, and it was awkward because there were people there that you, for one reason or another, didn't want you there. Have you ever been pushed away from others because of a disagreement or whatever reason? Another embarrassing story. Years ago, I was backstage at the Orpheum Theater in Omaha. Beautiful, beautiful theater. A lot of history there. But I was in radio, and we were promoting Sheryl Crow, who is a singer-songwriter. And opening up for her was a band. I don't even remember what the band's name was, but that's who we were there for. That we were the... There were two radio stations vying for this concert, and the Omaha station got the head act, which would have been Sheryl Crow. And we got to hang out with the opening act, which, as I say, I don't even remember who they are or what song they are. So we got the insignificant kind of part of the deal. But we were backstage, and we were doing this kind of promotional interview with the band that shall remain nameless. And then we left as the concert was just about ready to get started. As I was walking out, I walked out of the what they call the green room, and I'm walking out, and I was supposed to go this way, but I thought I was supposed to go this way. And so when I walked out, I turned, and ba-bam, I clock Sheryl Crow. We smack each other hard, she was very gracious about it. She recoiled and she said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Where am I supposed to go?" But before I could answer, her people, her henchmen, her goons, took their arms and just shoved me against the door as if I was lunging for the Queen of England or something like that. And it was just a mistaken thing there. But in that moment, I felt, again, humiliated, and I felt as if I was definitely not invited, and I felt unwanted. And in that moment, you sit there and you've been slammed against the wall before you realize who you actually slammed into, or you know, anything like that. And you just, there's a lot of things that are in play there emotionally. You feel you feel embarrassed. You feel humiliated. You feel angry because somebody has actually thrown you, you know, has reacted aggressively to you, and you feel unwanted. just in that scenario. But you know, there are people in our world right now that feel that a lot. I have little stories in my life where I have been able to recall and share times when I felt unwanted, unwelcomed, humiliated. I have been on the receiving side of someone else's aggression. I have just a few of those. Just a few of those times. And, you know, I remember feeling all of these kind of feelings with that. But most of all, feeling unwanted, unloved. And I imagine if every time that I went to a concert, somebody pushed me away or told me that I was not welcome, I think I would feel angrier, more humiliated, and I think my self-worth would continue to go down. For me, this is just for me. This is how I eternalize how I might feel. But again, I say that there's a couple of colorful anecdotes that I can share in my personal life where I have not been welcomed somewhere. But we have people in our world that have felt that way a lot, either through social status, race, lifestyle. There are many reasons that there are people that know what it's like. They know what it's like to walk into a situation and first check to see if they're wanted, to see if they're welcome. I don't know what that feels like. I have little stories, little anecdotes, but I don't know what it feels like every day to walk into a public situation or a gathering and need to scan the room to make sure that everybody there is welcoming. I don't know what that's like. But you know, there are people that do know what that's like. And they know what it's like a lot. There are people in this world that coming into a church, a house of God, or a storefront of God, that worry whether or not they feel welcomed, whether or not they will be welcomed, whether or not they're even safe there. You know, there are people that walk into situations that every single one of us has walked into in our lives, restaurants, public meetings, churches, that sit down and they can feel the eyes on them. They can feel stared at without even opening their mouths, without even sharing their story, without even having a chance to say, this is who I am. They can feel judgment. I just have a few of those stories. And I remember them because of the way it made me feel. It hurt, and it made me feel unloved. You know, to feel unloved is probably one of the most tragic things that anybody can feel in their lives. I'm convinced of it. You can take a lot of painful situations, but to feel that no one loves you, wow. That's like the feeling of just wanting to give up. And sometimes the holidays even bring that even closer because we go to places, family gatherings, you know, within reason, within social distancing and all that kind of stuff. But we remember our family gatherings. We remember stepping into churches. How many of those for you watching? How many of those incidents, whether it's been a family gathering, a public place, a restaurant, a meeting, a church, how many of those? How many of the memories of walking into those places are shared with memories of also feeling unwelcomed, of feeling unloved? It's hard to talk about joy sometimes if that is the case for many people. We are in the season of Advent. We are in season, the week where we've talked about hope. We've talked about peace. We've talked about love. And today we talk about joy. Joy. How can we feel legitimate joy if we are not feeling loved? If we are not feeling welcomed? It happens a lot in churches. You know, I personally know that we have people that have come through our church doors bravely. And I say with braveness and with courage because they have walked through a door of a church before and they have felt that feeling of not being welcomed, of not being loved, and of being stared at and judged. Church, I have spoke with church people that have said they don't want certain people in their church. I have sat with people, church leaders, that have said they want to love them, but they really don't want them sharing the seat with them. One of my comedic heroes is Dick Van Dyke, who actually recently, last week, I believe, turned 95. 95. Dick Van Dyke, when he was in his just starting out, you know, he wanted to actually be a pastor. Very spiritual man, Dick Van Dyke. Very wise man. And he belonged to a church, and he was one of the church leaders in his church. And this is the 1960s, early 1960s. And his church, he thought, was pretty... They saw things the way that Jesus saw things. He thought. And they were in a meeting one afternoon about how they can reach out because the racism had been an issue. It's been an issue for a long time. But for them, it was the current issue. And he thought, how can we partner with some of our African American friends? How can we help bridge the gap between racism? And he remembers sitting in a meeting where they talked about another church that they felt close to. And it was a predominantly African American church. And they thought, you know what would be great? A few of them had this wonderful idea. They thought, what if we, on a Sunday, switched? What if we, on a Sunday, one Sunday, We all went to their church and listened to their pastor. And then the next Sunday, what we'll do is we will invite all of them to come to our church and they'll listen to our pastor. And that's where the conversation stopped. Because as much as they wanted to talk about things like racism, they didn't want them coming to their church. And Dick Van Dyke says that's when he got up and he walked out. And although he has remained faithful all of his life, he says that that is the last time he ever stepped foot inside a church. Isn't that sad? Where's the joy? Where's the joy when we talk about that? And we continue to have these conversations. I go to big church things where we talk about things like racism. We talk things about LGBTQ. We talk about things like poverty. We talk about things about helping our neighbor. But so many people don't want their neighbor sitting next to them. There's always a seat for you here. At Neighbors, there's always a seat for you here. Because I believe that that's what Christ teaches us. I think Christ teaches us that we should always, always have a spare seat for whoever walks in. And our job as Christians is not to discourage this person or to make them feel small or to say, if only you changed a little bit, you could join our club. If only you were more like us. Our job as Christians is to make a neighbor a friend. A friend is someone that you don't lecture to, you don't tell them, you exchange, it's a fair exchange. You get to know them. They get to know you. You learn from them, they learn from you. You are blessed by them, they are blessed by you. That's where the true joy comes from. And see, that is God's plan. We've mucked it up, but that is God's plan. 2,000 years ago, there were these people that were known as the outcasts. Today we call them shepherds. And they were people that could not participate often in the religious ceremonies, and so they were considered not very spiritual people, even though they were. But they had to work. Many times they had to be out with their livestock, their sheep. They had to be out there day and night. And so they were isolated many times from what was going on. And so the more that they did their noble work, the more they were considered the outcast, the more they were considered less than. The more people respected what they did for a living because they profited off of it, but they didn't want them sharing the seat with them at the church. And so these two communities just continued to function without really intermingling together. And you might have people that said, oh, the shepherds, yeah, they're fine. I have nothing wrong with the shepherds. You know, they do miss church all the time. They do. I haven't seen them in the synagogue for a long time. They do miss all the holy days and everything. But they're, you know, they live their life. They live their life. And but I don't really want them coming over for to my house for dinner. And then one night, the shepherds were working, minding their own business as life went on around them. And in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. I wonder what that was like. The glory of the Lord shining around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news. Good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Chosen One, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors. Now, we often get screwed up with that last line, peace among those whom he favors. A lot of arrogance comes in Christian minds when we look at that because we think, you know, because I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm one of those favored ones. I'm a good one. I get Christmas cards from God. He really likes me. Yeah, he invited me to his summer house the other day. I couldn't go because, you know, I had the Trump rally. Oops, shouldn't say that. We have chosen politics over what we see God as. We have chosen race over what we see God as. We have chosen our own narrowed view of the world over what we see God as. It can be any rally you want. It can be a Trump rally. It can be a Biden rally. It can be any cause. And we get locked into these shells where we don't want the other people in our lives. And we think that we're right. And we think that our cause is just. And we think that we are the ones whom God favors. And we don't want to share tables with people who are considered different than us or have differences of opinion because we're the ones that God favors. And if you want to walk into this church, you got to think like us and you got to be like us and you got to dress like us and you got to vote like us because if you don't, you're not going to be one of those that God favors. We've taken that line and we've abused it. We've taken the joy out of it. Because if we go back and look at this line that simply says, do not be afraid, for I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. For all the people. Who does God favor? All the people. All. So much so that he went to the ones that were considered the outcasts of that day, The ones that he considered were lower than low. The ones that that people considered did not deserve to have an angelic being visit them and be the first to know that Christ was born. The joy that we can find in our hearts today is the joy that we should share with all the people. God loves all the people. Everyone is welcomed. Everyone is loved. And everyone deserves joy. Even you. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, help us to understand that we are invited. We are welcomed. We are cherished. We are loved. We are advocated for. Help us to remember that everyone else is too. And help us not be afraid of that. Help us find joy in that. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. The joy that we have in our world. We spend so much time confusing our world when we put things like fear and prejudiceness and hatred and judgment. The joy that we can have in our world is that God loves everybody. That should be reassuring to us. It should be a relief to know that God loves everybody. That means we can love everybody too. That means that if we have differences with somebody, we can pray about it. We can pray to them. We can pray for them. We can pray to God about them. We can help to invite people. We can reach out to our world out here, to our front door, and know that it's open. Know that we can yell out to the world, "Hey, God loves you." We can do that. We can do that in our church. We can do that everywhere that we are in life. Imagine the next time you look at somebody, whoever that person is, and looked at them and knew that God loves them. Imagine doing that in the mirror. One of the greatest things about us being virtual is that truly anybody that has an online service can visit our church. My prayer is that when we are able to meet in person, that people feel as comfortable walking through these doors as they do clicking a button online. May we all pray for that. May we pray that God's joy is felt and shared by all. Love God, love yourself, and love your neighbor.